Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, folks. Welcome to The Hang. Today, we're hanging with my buddy, American actor Tim Rogan. Tim and I have been friends for a few years now. We share similar passions. I wish we shared similar jawlines, though. Tim is one hell of a guy. He has a big heart and is always looking at the positive side of things. He is a great testament to putting your energy into what you can control and letting go of what you cannot. It has been really exciting to see how Tim has developed his craft over the last few years and started to accumulate credits on his resume that already goes between the stage and camera. But it's not surprising either. Tim has grit. His focus and determination is second to none. But it's inspiring for us all to see and hear. The work he puts in and his self-accountability is something that I draw on from time to time when I need to push myself. It's truly motivating.
Hey, buddy. Welcome to The Hang. How you doing?
I am great now that I'm seeing you, man.
It's been so long.
It has been a minute. I was like thinking about it, and I was like, when was the last time we've been in like the same room? And I was like, at least a year, maybe a couple.
When was the last time?
I don't know. I mean,
was it working out at Solace? No, we were in Equinox.
I think it probably. Knowing us, it probably was like a hey. I think it was the Equinox on the sports club on the Upper West Side or something like that.
That's right.
Because you were here for something.
I was recording the album.
Yes, that's right. You were doing the album. And then, yeah, because, I mean, you've been off crushing it in the UK and touring all over the place, Mr. Holy City. So, yeah, but it's awesome. So,
how's it going, man? What have you been up to? Let's start career-wise. Well, how's things been? Because you are one of the most positive hustlers I know. Always improving, always working to be better.
Yeah.
So where did we last leave it? What were you doing last when I saw you?
I was thinking, oh, remember that time I was like helping you read lines when you were in Japan for something when I was doing Ever After down in Atlanta. You were like, you like got something and you were like, I have a last minute audition. And I like woke up one morning to like help you read lines because we've helped each other with scenes and stuff before. And then you were like, you were in Japan doing something. And like, I was in rehearsals for that because I was picking your brain on that. But that was like almost 2 years ago. I'm sure every artist that you've had on here that I feel like The Hang has turned into hey, so what's it like being an artist during these crazy pandemic times? Because I'm like, you started this before COVID hit, before everything went down. So it's kind of been, I mean, so that's an interesting thing. But honestly, my succinct answer to stuff has been, just trying to keep myself busy with side projects as a way of just maintaining discipline and trying to control the things that you can. Because momentum, it's wild because I, from like a career point of view, I was like 2019 into the beginning of 2020 was going great. And it was like, I'd lined up, a couple, commercial gigs, a couple TV co-star things, which like some of that's like just airing now. So it's funny because everybody's like, congratulations, it's so cool. I was like, yeah, let's celebrate the thing I booked 11 months ago, but that's cool. Like that's, you know what I mean? And so then everything sort of went down in March and then it's just been the things that I was like, all right, what, you know, you can't control obviously all these things, particularly within the theater world, but it's still, things are just dead in the water, unfortunately. So one of the big things is I was like just taking classes, getting into acting classes. And I was like, I was really lucky where I was able to take multiple sessions of stuff with Bob Krakauer and Ted Slabersky. And I was like, I like adore those guys. And I've been working with you and I have talked about Ted and like, and so I just feel like, you know, that these past few years since moving to New York, I feel has been my like masters in the on-camera world of like studying with those guys and being like, oh, okay, like now let's learn how to do it. So, and then been working out a lot because you're like, well, you've got all this time, so you might as well just, and that was something too that I was like talking with some of the trainers at the gym that I go to, And it's wild because that sense of community that you have as actors, and I feel like as theater people, that it's such a huge part of our lives, where we see each other in our shows, we see each other at auditions, you go to the audition and it's almost like you're beginning to see and recognize friends, you guys are talking about what's going on, that got taken away. And so it's like, I have actor friends and I'm like, yeah, I haven't seen you for months. And so the folks at my gym, that they were doing Zoom classes all throughout quarantine to help keep it open. And so like the main gym that I go to is like a, I sort of say like boutique type thing, where it's like, it's really like that sort of location. But I like really leaned into that community, and those trainers have really become, I was like, man, you're kind of like, you feel like my theater coworkers. Cause I'm like, you're the people that I see all the time. And we've been, you know, going through all the current events and stuff while that's been going on. So it's really just been a thing of, I'm like, all right, just try to stay busy. And that's your coping mechanism.
Well, at least now you're back in the gym. I see you. I don't know how you do CrossFit classes with a mask on. That must be like altitude training.
The first couple of classes that we came back, it was like, we'd get to the end of it. So it's like, you know, the end of the MetCon where you're just like redlining and this and that. I literally had to like sprint to the bathroom, like shut the door, go into like the shower and just like try to breathe into the floor. Cause I was like, I'm like losing it. And so it's gotten better, but it is, I mean, I go, does it suck? Yes. Is it infinitely better than not being in that facility at all? Hands down. So I just go, it's kind of one of those things that I'm like, well, there's no use complaining about it. Cause that just is what it is. It's like, if you want to be in here and have access to this incredible facility and these incredible trainers, it's like, you just got to do this thing. And I'm like, great. It's keeping everybody safe and it's keeping this place open. So awesome. You know, and then it'll just feel that much better when we get to take them off. So,
yeah. And that's the thing. It's whether, I know there's so many different opinions on how this whole pandemic is and whatever, but with businesses and whatnot, our goal should be to try and keep them open safely according to the rules. So whether you like it or not, especially a private business like that, who's you want them to survive. You don't want them to go under.
And that's the thing that I applaud. I really applaud Brick, my gym in New York, is they, from back in March before everything shut down, they did not underestimate this at all. We, after every time you touch a piece of equipment, you go, you wipe everything down. We this and that. They've got everything boxed out. The masks on at all times, unless you're literally down to take a drink of water. And so they've been very, very vigilant about it and not underestimating it all. But then again, that important thing of going, right, now how do we strike the balance between also keeping this place open, but while keeping everybody safe? And I really admire how they haven't underestimated things at all while still trying to keep the place open. But they've had to, and they've gone down to limited capacity. There's something like 25 or 33% capacity, which is hard. And they let go. And I mean, it's for so many of our friends, is that thing when everything went down for the theater world, the entertainment world, where they're like, well, how many of our friends, their backup job is something in the fitness industry, something in the service industry, or something in the events industry, where they do something like catering or event planning? All of those got decimated. And it was the same thing at Brick too, that even some of the permanent trainers and stuff, that they just had to go, we've got to cut hours. We're cutting classes. People are going, well, you know, I can't just be in the city and not working, so I'm going to move. So we lost a whole bunch of trainers over there too. And you know, it's the same thing in the theater world, where I go, it's like every week I see another friend that's like, hey, I'm heading out of New York. Don't know if this is permanent. Maybe it is permanent and we'll see what's going on. So my whole strategy through all this has just been to like, just try to ride out the storm in New York. And just, it's like, if you get something, to just be here. I had this backdrop up from something that happened last night that I was like, that, like, you know, it was great. I was like, two auditions came in. I was like, okay, we're here. It's like when those things come in, you're like, okay, it's still worth it. We're still in the fight, you know? Like it just sort of gives you those little breadcrumbs to keep getting through the next several months.
Well, here's the thing. What other options are there right now?
It's just sort of one of those things where I'm like, you can complain about it, or you can just take it, roll with it, you know, adapt. What's the next thing, you know?
And there's different levels of this. There are some people who's, you know, you're lucky. I guess you only got yourself to worry about for now. And you know, some families out there, it's hard. So just surviving, just making the day work is enough, you know?
And it's like, what, exactly. It's like, what if you had a wife and kids in this position? It's like, if you didn't have, cause it's like, all right, cost wise, you're able to just like trim the fat on stuff. So it's just, my heart just goes out to people that it's just heartbreaking. And you see, and you have friends that are struggling with this stuff, but it's just, I was like, all right, luckily, knock on wood, we're just kind of in a position where I was like, just hunker down and just try to ride it out. And then, like I said, when these little opportunities have come along, you're like, okay, we can still compete. We can still do stuff. So
how have you managed to, you know, pay the rent and keep yourself floating above water with, you had savings, these little jobs that come in?
It's odd end projects. And then the dodging of the bullet was some of the commercial work that I had done back in February, literally like days before everything began shutting down, like at the end of February. I just got super, super lucky in that stuff that I had lined up in that month has been literally the stuff that has been covering the rent for this absolute chaos. And it's like, you know, you're not buying an apartment or anything, but you're like, okay, we're able to breathe until next month. And then just little odd end jobs of things here and there. And it was like, oh, like here's a fitness commercial, like that, you know, somebody is like, hey, we want you to go do this thing. And so it's just these, again, these little odd end jobs that we, you know, you would do normally, but there's just so many less of them than there used to be. But I just, it's one of those things where I was like, I'm just very, very fortunate that those things that happened right before everything went down. So then right during the peak, you know, of all of this during the summer, you start with how the payment for the on-camera stuff, you start seeing those things coming in after the fact. And I was like, it saved me completely.
Oh, that's great to hear, man.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Ever since I've known you, you've been the most positive guy. I don't think I've ever seen you pissed off. I don't think I've ever heard you cuss. I've never heard you cuss, to be honest.
Really? Well, we can change that. We can change that on this podcast.
If it comes, don't do it for the sake of it. But if it comes, feel free to let fly. How is this time, because from your Instagram, I can still see you've been hustling and being positive. And like you say, just making the most of what you got.
Yeah.
How have you maintained that? Because even at the best of times, has there been days where you were like ready to tap out for a hot second or?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's I think, again, one of the really, really important things is just perspective, right? And everybody's going through, you know, everybody's suffering is relative, and people go through, you know, everybody's got stuff going on, you know, as proactive as you are with all of these things, I'm sure your career was absolutely slammed by all of this and stuff too. That there were a project that you had wanted to do and things that lined up that it was like, that just got shelved. And so, like a big thing for me has been trying to just keep that sort of like balance of things of going, yes, it sucks. It's okay to feel that. But then at that same time, look at what you can keep going. Look at the things that you are able to keep doing. You are able to keep working out and even staying healthy. You still have an apartment with internet that allows you to film video, you know, to send in submissions for things. And so it's kind of one of those things where I go, one thing that's helped is I'm like, there's a lot of people that have it way worse than you do. So try to find, but you counter that because I go, you know, nobody likes to hear when you're suffering or you're upset, somebody going, well, there's people starving somewhere. You know, I get that. Like you're going through something right now. So you try to have empathy towards that, but it's just a root and routine has been a big thing of just trying to, it's like, if you just stick to this daily thing, if you just keep doing those little things that win the hour, win the day, you'll win the month, you'll win the year. But I mean, all of that being said is you absolutely have those days where you're just like, what am I doing here? You know? And when it's weeks in between getting auditions and you go, why am I paying rent on a Manhattan apartment when I'm just sitting here? What's going on? So, I mean, it's a couple of big projects that I worked on that one I can credit you for was the rebuilding of my website, which was a massive, massive undertaking with the shout out to the guys over at Seven Ages, where I was like, it's been something that was on my bucket list for like 2 years that I was like, I hadn't it was 2020 and I hadn't updated stuff since like 2017. And I was like, you need to like bring this up. Like, you've done some stuff since then. But that was a major undertaking. And it's one of those things that I'm super proud of now. And then I went out too and, finally added a manager on top of, working with agents and stuff. Cause I was like, well, look, let's just try to double our output. Like, you know, I was like, people are like, oh, you really want to give up another 10% of your paycheck? And I was like, well, 10% of zero is still zero. So let's just, I was like, let's double our output. You know what I mean? I just sort of was like, think, because everybody operating at the level that I know that one day I'd like to get at, they have them both. They're like, I've got the manager and I've got the agent. So I was like, all right, it's another expense that when you begin to level up, you just sort of go, it's like, all right, well, we're adding a whole new department to the business that is Tim Rogan or the business that is Ramin Karimloo. So if we want to add this whole department to this business, okay, it's going to take 10% of our profits. Okay, that's good. But what are we getting in return? Well, we're doubling our marketing. We're doubling our outreach. You know, you've got all these other people looking out for us. So to me, that was kind of worth it. Well, yeah, in an ideal world. But that too was another major thing. And I was like, all right, what can we control? What can we do? All right, well, there's this possibility to start finding more work if you bring some people on. So we went down that road. But it's just, I don't know, like, to just sort of bring back to your answer, it's like, how did you try to stay, you know, positive? And you're like, just try to control the things you can and the things that you can't. You're like, you just gotta absolve yourself from them. Because so much, I mean, it's like the stuff with theater where it's just like, will it really be summer, or will it maybe be fall? Will it maybe, you know, it's like, just take what you can get.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Every time I get my hopes up and get excited, because it's, you know, I do have a impending Broadway show to go to. So every time I get excited thinking that's going to happen, I get excited because if that happens, everything else is happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get a bit of news that, oh, it's delayed even more. It's delayed even more.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking because that's for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you just think, wow, come on, give us something to get excited about.
Did you see the Tom Cruise rant when he was on the Mission Impossible set?
I heard it.
Did you hear that? Mm. Yeah. And I was like, I listened to it and I was like, he cares. I was like, you know, did he maybe lose his cool a little bit? You're like, yeah, you know, understandably. And you're like, but at the same time, you're hearing everything that he's saying. You're like, that's what's at stake for these productions, mm-hmm. you know? And I was like, you think about what goes into a movie, you think about what goes into a single Broadway show. And I was like, it's not just the actors, it's all those production people, it's all those staff within the building and this and that. It's all the people that for a movie or a TV show that work in the post side of things. And he's like, if we shut down for 2 weeks, our budget can't afford it. You know, things get shut down. It's, you know.
Well, look, he's had to still go through the pandemic. And I know he's in a comfortable position, but I think they still have the stresses, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I didn't disagree with the rant and if he was looking out for everyone, but I didn't know do you know what happened? What were the guys doing that set him off?
I wasn't there, but I heard that it was, it was guys standing way too close to each other. It was like, there was a monitor and then they were like huddled up around it or something like that. He's like, you can't do that. Like, you guys are, I get it. Like, we're all doing the thing. And he's like, but I keep seeing you guys, you're coming over and you're checking the stuff and you're all huddled. Like, you're huddled around it. So how did that go down for you guys? What was the shooting time? Like how long of the break was that? How did that like interrupt things for you guys?
I think it was almost 4 months.
Wow.
Which was scary. After, because yeah. obviously when this started, you think 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you'll be back.
Yeah.
Just a 4 week lockdown.
Oh, 2 weeks, you're like a 2 week vacation and you're like, I'll get to just like see my friend. I was like FaceTiming and I was like, I cranked out my Xbox for the first time in months. And I was like, oh, here we go. And then you're like, okay. Yeah.
Well, after like 2 months in, I became this pseudo carpenter building things around the house, buying tools that I've never had before. I'm like, what's happening with our life right now? When are we going back to work?
He does one Bible movie and he becomes a carpenter. What about the most like recent lockdown things for the UK? Has that like, do you know what that's done to productions for things?
Fortunately, they're still going ahead. Like I'm still filming as of now.
Yeah.
January. What is it? January. What today? 8th.
8th.
So because there's nothing, I'd like to think there's nothing to shut it down. So I think with things that it's hard because with this lockdown, I have certain opinions and why certain businesses, why are they shut down then?
Yeah.
There hasn't been, but what do I know? I'm not a politician. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I've been very fortunate with my experience with this virus. So my opinion doesn't really matter. You know, all I can do is what do you need me to do? I'll stay out of the way. I won't be part of the problem as best I can.
Yeah. Yeah.
So while we can work, I'm just keeping my distance and living in gratitude that we are working.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wanted to pick your brain. I know I've asked you about it before and stuff, but I'm like, what's it like now for you? I'm so curious to hear now that you've got the like series regular thing going with Holby City. Cause you know, I know you've gone like with the, you know, the theater world and you've had like the TV things that you've done, but what's that world like? Cause I go, that's the thing that I was like, yeah, I want to do that. Like, I want to do that reoccurring thing one day. Like, I'm like, so just how's that been versus even just like the guest star thing, you know, what's it like to be showing up to the set? Cause I know what it's like in the theater world. We know what it's like to do a run of something for months and weeks at a time, you know, but I'm like, I'm so curious to be like, what's that 9-to-5 world like for you?
Well, here's the thing, Tim. First of all, you're going to do it with a jawline like that. You're going to be fine. Wait till COVID goes away. Timmy Rogan is going to be a big star.
Thank you. This is why I took the call. It was just for you to butter me up. So cool.
It's been amazing because like the theater world where you do 8 shows a week, 6 or 7 on my case and on certain roles, you get to try whatever inspires you in the day, whatever inspires you in the week. But that's how I work, at least. I'll pick something up. I'll see a TV show. I'm like, oh, I want to try that. Or something you'll be inspired by that you get to go the next night and try it on stage. And that's what you keep it fresh with. Without, you know, hopefully you're serving a story and not yourself. So with Holby, where it's a continual drama. So the scripts are constantly changing. And I try not to even ask about, where is the future storyline going? I want to live it in the moment as and when.
Yeah.
And it's just for someone like myself, who's still hopefully always growing, but someone who's super eager to grow, which I think you're very similar. Every day is a lesson, you know?
Yeah.
And my favorite is working with the guest acts that come on, because you don't know at all their character storyline or them as actors and how they work. So it's completely fresh and different every time. So anytime my character is linked with a guest storyline, I'm super happy. So I've grown so much. And what I love about this, the questions you probably have, I had before becoming a regular lead on
like
the show.
Like a regular,
Because now I feel like, oh, you know, it's just a thing of, oh, we can do this.
Yeah.
The unknown wasn't so scary. And
like you demystify
And just like theater, everyone preps in their own way. Some prep more than others.
Yeah.
But what I learned was how I approach this, the work ethic that I feel I have or hopefully keep improving with, what I do here is how I would do it if I'm blessed with working with someone like Scorsese one day, or working with actors that we look up to. And I think our process, our attention to detail, our attention to preparation, all is the same.
Yeah.
And the more I learn, the more I evolve, the better I get at it. Well, I'll just keep adding to it.
Yeah.
So I love it. I love it, man. I love the character they've written for me. I love, there is a nice, malleable sense of freedom with each take, and they let you play. They're very encouraging with that.
Yeah.
So it's been a blast.
Yeah. It's one of those things that I was like, oh yeah, that'd be awesome. Cause you know, we've been going after just the on-camera stuff for like the past few months, but I was like, yeah, it's so exciting. And there's things about the on-camera world and people are like, oh, do you want to like be doing just that now? And I was like, no, I love them. I love them both. And I love the differences that the on-camera stuff presents. And you know, it's like the different challenges, but I was like, it's still just acting, you know, it's like, we're still doing the thing at the end of the day, which is what's so great about it.
We're just storytelling and playing dress up.
Yeah. You know, basically.
What I did notice was I went before I used to, I wasn't good at going into the room for auditions. I preferred self tapes. Well, now I feel it's flipped a bit because I went into a room.
Really?
It was before COVID for a new TV series. But the difference in the room, the sense of pressure that we put on ourselves was gone. I was just there to play. I wasn't like, I have to get this. It was like, what's this all about? Let's see what we can explore on the day in the room, in that moment, not thinking. Because you got to find that balance, right? Especially with auditions or self-tapes.
Yeah.
How do you play? Do you think this is how I do it on a set? Because sometimes in the scene, you're busy with a bunch of stuff. And with Bob's class, you know, you bring some of that into it. But there's only so much you can do because you know that the tape they get, they're looking at you with this black backdrop right now.
Yeah.
So I mean, how do you make it pop for that moment?
Yeah. I mean, that's one of those things where it's like I was saying earlier, where I feel like for my on-camera experience for things, it was basically non-existent until I moved to the city about 5 years ago. And so all of my initial stuff was just baptism by fire and trying to figure out how to do it. And so it's been one of the big things for me has been trying to get into class because I'm like, well, what are the other people doing? Because it's like, you might think that you're like, oh, this is brilliant. And then, you know, you walk away and you don't get any feedback. You're like, well, did they like it? Did they not like it? And so just simply the thing of getting more reps at it and being in class and watching what other people do, I am so much more liberal with the things and the chances that I take in a self-tape now than I was a couple of years ago. And it's just, one of the interesting things too, that's evolved because of quarantine is I think with self-tapes, because people are confined to their apartments and stuff, they're putting on full-fledged little movies where they're like, okay, now if I'm going to actually film this scene in my kitchen, I'm going to dress up. And I feel like people used to be a little bit more playing within the box for their auditions and for a self-tape, where it's like a much more, it's like, I'll just be here, I'll be doing the thing. Be like, well, I'm in the apartment and I've got all these props and I can kind of do it as much as I want. And so it's been fun because with that too, I feel like I've taken way more risks with self-tapes and things where I was like, no, like I've got the bowl of ice cream and I'm eating a bowl. I was like, we're not, which, you know, if you were to go to one of the studios to film it, I was like, well, I can't keep this ice cream cold in my pocket. So then like go into the room, you have no idea when they're going to do it. So that's one of the things that's been kind of fun. Cause I was like, well, now we can just kind of swing for the fences a little bit more. And I was like, even last night I sent something in that I was like, I would never have sent that in like 2 years ago. But I was like, okay, like let's go for it. You know, let's just have, and I think at the end of the day, I still will always prefer to be in the room with the casting people because you just go, fact of the matter is that they go, oh, you know, Ramin's making amazing choices, but actually we want to see the scene go this way. You get to immediately make that fix, do it. They get to interact with you. They get a sense of who you are. You know, I think that's something that is a strength of both of ours, that it's like we're able to sort of, you know, read the room and you know, get on with people. So I feel like I'll always lean towards the in-person thing, but it's been fun exploring, you know, I was like just getting crazy and like using props, using the environment and sort of like filming on location within your apartment versus before it just used to be I've just got this blank thing, and then you're here and you're kind of in profile. It's like, no, let's get weird. Let's get crazy with this. So, yeah.
Because you got to look like you're having fun too, because they want to know you're going to have a good time.
Yeah. And that was one of the other things too, that I was like, that like Ted has said before, where he was like, if you're having fun with your audition, chances are they'll probably enjoy themselves a little bit more. So he's like, make yourself laugh. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, if you're cracking yourself up and you're enjoying your own stuff, it'll probably bleed over into the other stuff. So sometimes there's things where it's like, I'll do things where I'm like, this is a little over the top, but I don't care. I love it. I'm going to roll with it. And I was like, I think that shows. And I go, at least maybe, who knows, maybe it'll completely turn them off. But at the end of the day, you're like, well, at least I had fun. At least I enjoyed my own work.
Yeah. And the thing is, the closer you are to being 100% Tim, then the closer you are to being completely different from the rest.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
there is only one Tim. So why don't yeah. you be the best version of that? And then hope yeah. that, because it does sometimes, it will. I think sometimes within the first 5 seconds, even during your slate, they know right away, no, that's not the guy.
And it's the same thing that carries over into the music theater world, I think, too. And I was like, they'll know within 5 seconds of you doing things. And I think one of the fun things has been seeing the sort of cross-pollination between the on-camera world and into the stage world. It's just, I feel like there's things that you can learn, especially within sort of that specificity of the on-camera stuff, that then when you add that extra layer into the stage stuff, it just makes things that much more enhanced. And you just sort of begin to think about different things that you might not have thought of before, even though the medium is different. But I think the on-camera stuff has made the theater stuff better. I don't know if you've had that experience, but.
Absolutely. Because again, it's just, you're expanding your craft. And I think it all,
yeah.
it does feed each other, especially because we come from the theater world. I feel it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
quick question then. If you were in the room and you had that scene where you're eating ice cream, what would you do?
Yeah.
Would you mime it?
Maybe I was like, maybe you could bring in a bowl and a spoon.
Would you?
Know you? What I mean? Maybe, or you know what you could do? I was like, I'd bring in a couple of yogurts, because then you can just pop the tops on them and it's like each one's like a new thing. But and that's even something too that I would have never a few years ago had the bravery to do. But then it was like even taking Marcy Phillips, I took her class.
Yeah, she's great.
She works over at ABC and she's like, props. Bring props. And she's like, we've had people bring a duffel bag into the room of their stuff. And like, they set it up. Now, obviously everything's within reason. You can't be destroying their space and this and that. Mm-hmm. And you got to learn how to like set it up and take it down. But even within that, I just go, those little things can make such a difference. You know what I mean? And then also I think there's something that if done properly, it conveys a confidence to them of them being like, this guy or girl can handle the ball for 6 seasons on this TV show, you know?
Do you know what? That is so true, because you end up behaving in the environment, which is
yeah.
what I learned from Bob. He's like, stop acting, stop
yeah.
behaving. Two times I was this close to two major, it still burns in me a bit, but I've got myself to blame, because when I sent the self-tapes in my head, I was like, no chance. So I took this risk, and this sense of contentment was about it.
Yeah.
And I played so freely because I didn't care.
Yeah.
I just wanted to tell the story, and I didn't think I want this job, because I yeah. thought it was such a shot in the dark. Next thing yeah. you know, they're flying me to LA for the final screen test and whatnot. Suddenly, now I'm like, oh, I want this.
I became very self-aware. Yeah.
I knew that I wasn't going to get it anymore, because I lost my nerve. I was
yeah.
very green all of a sudden. And
yeah.
I wasn't convicted in my choices and
yeah.
what I was delivering. Because I
yeah.
knew what I was doing. In my head, I'm going, what are you doing? What are you doing
yeah.
with your hands right now? Why are
yeah.
you even doing it? That's not what you wanted to do with it.
I was like, I remember you called me out once, right? You were like, how'd the audition go or something? And I was like, yeah. And then he like looked down and like, I didn't. And you were like, if you know what they were doing behind the table, you're not present in the thing. And I was like, yeah, yeah. But you're completely right. I was like, yeah.
So what's in the near future for you, brother? I know it's hard. That's why like right now, everyone's like, hey, Happy New Year. I'm like, is it Happy New Year?
Is it
Happy? It just feels like a continuation.
It happened, but No, you know, one of the things that, again, helped me sort of get through some of the earlier quarantine stuff was kind of setting some fitness goals. And so for me, it's like one of the things that I sort of in my mind that I'm working towards is I go like, oh, we've got the CrossFit Open coming up in March, which is sort of this big, it's like everybody gets to participate in the same workouts. And so like, I've been putting in the work, you know, every night trying to like get better at these skills. So I was like, all right, well, that gives me something. And as a nerdy, I'm just to get super nerdy where I was like, all right. And then that's how like, we're going to be eating this way towards that. So like that way, like throughout my day, I'm like planning my meals out. So that gives you a little bit of structure. And then I still have sort of this long-term goal. For my 30th birthday, a big thing that I wanted to do was to run a marathon in like in a decently competitive time. And then within like a week of it, to be hitting the like 1000 pound club challenge between your like squat, bench press, and like deadlift. Cause I was like, oh, I want to like see if I can have that aerobic capacity and that strength. And so now I've gone to, all right, let's see if we can do like a triathlon, maybe a half Ironman. Cause there's no way that I was like, there's no way, but I could do like a full Ironman. But I'm looking at, there's like the New York triathlon, which will in theory be like mid July. And I was like, well, that could be kind of cool to like try to do that. And then maybe also try to do like the CrossFit total, which is like, instead of the bench press, it's like a strict shoulder press. So it's just kind of that thing of, again, you're like, well, when I set these goals out months ahead of time, it sort of helps me get that like daily structure. And it gives you, you're like, okay. And so for me right now, it's like, instead of going to the show and that, you know, 7:30 for, you know, half hour, I'm like, well, you know, half hours at 4 o'clock and we head out and we go to class at 5 over at Grand Central. And like, that's my little 8 times a week thing that we got going on. But it's just something to like, okay, and then keep going. And then it's been nice because I'm like, some of the past commercial work that I've done has been sort of because of that fitnessy looking type physique. And so I'm like, great. And I was like, I'm getting to do the thing where I was like, you're in a weird indirect way, you're getting paid to work out. So I was like, well, that's a lot of fun. So I'll take that. It's kind of like that merging of all the worlds where it's like, I get to work out, but it's a commercial where I get to act and you're going to get paid. I was like, well, that's just awesome. So I'm like, those are some of the things that I'm like, just like setting those fitness goals have been things that sort of like mentally keep you on track for some stuff. And then, you know, anytime that you get an audition, it was like, I finally had 2 auditions come in and it's been a little bit of time since anything came in. So you're like, oh, here we go. Like, that's great. Now you've got things to work on for the next few days. So
how did you do your self-tapes? Who read in with you?
I've been FaceTiming people in and having them come through my little Bose speaker. So I set them up on, I'll do things where I set them up on my laptop, have them coming through my speaker. So it's nice, crystal clear audio. And then I've got like my ring light and phone like here. So like you know, my buddy John that I was reading with last night, but then I've got my phone set up here. So he's got his thing. So we can't quite really see each other. So I'm just playing to the focal spots in my apartment. And then I'm doing the scene with him.
So basically you set up your eye line as you see fit for the scene and you just get his voice. And do you put the speaker towards the eye line to help you? Is that?
Luckily the speaker doesn't make too much of a difference, but I'll try to make the laptop tilted so that he can somewhat see me for some of my, just like, so that we're like kind of on the same page, but the priority is the phone. So I was like, I can't be checking down to the laptop. And if we've got this thing right there, so you've just sort of, but it's, you know, I'll literally take the sticky notes and put them and go, okay, that's detective so-and-so. And then that's officer blah, blah, blah. And I was like, and then we're going to split them on either side here. So we're able to do it. So, but it's been, I had things recently too, Ramin, where I recorded all the lines for the scenes and I read with myself for something. So I had it going. So I like went into GarageBand and I had to edit out the lines. So I was reading the scene. It was like with like a girl or something. So I'm like changing up the like timbre of my voice to make it something. But I was like, it was one of those things where they're like, we need this by tomorrow at, you know, 10 a.m. or whatever it is. You're getting it at 8 o'clock at night. And I'm like, I have no one to read with. So I was my own reader. And so I just hit play and timed out the scene.
The last 2 jobs I got, I read with myself.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And I remember after the first one, my agent goes, that was a great self-tape. I'm like, was it? You know, I'm acting with myself, right? He goes, "Are you?" I said, "Yeah." Yeah.
I'm a brilliant scene partner.
I said, "I never want to hear about setting up the correct lighting." I said, "It was all done off my cell phone." So how did you leave dramatic pauses so you can do the voiceover of the other line?
Yeah. So what I did was, because I'll do this when rehearsing for scenes where I'll record, like I'll read the whole page just in the, when I'm memorizing for stuff, I will read out the entire scene. And then I then go into GarageBand and I will mute out my lines. So the timing on the MP3 is still the same. So it's like, I'll run it a few times. So I'm like, okay, I've like found my rhythm for things. And so then I go through and I cut out my voice. So the MP3, it's like those lines are going, that's where I should be speaking. Then the reader saying their lines, that's where I should be speaking. So it's like, I just hit play on the MP3. So it's like, I'm reading it with somebody.
Are you watching the waves to know when you come in, or you've rehearsed it enough to kind of feel the, effectively you're choreographing your timing, your lines. You can't deviate too much once you've set it up.
Yes. So that's one of those things too. That's like, it's one of the cons. Well, I go, and like, when you're at that point, you're like, we're already not under ideal circumstances. So you being like, I want to have really organic choices. You're like, okay, this is a Hail Mary right now. But I've done it both ways, because I did it like that for, I sent in a recording for this great musical. I'm going to give it a shameless plug, but Clico, that it was like, we literally did, we were doing a musical workshop for it right beforehand. And so during quarantine, it was really, really amazing, because we actually got to do like a filmed reading of it for them, like literally the day like the world shut down. It was like March 13th or whatever it was. And so they were like, it was like the day that Broadway shut down, and they're like, can we just try to get one recording? Like, we've done the 29-hour equity thing. The showcase is supposed to be tomorrow morning. Can we just get one showcase out so we can have stuff to shoot it out to people? And so we did that. But so now they've been trying to like do press things. And so they asked us to record lines for, they asked us to try to send stuff in so that they could do like a sort of Zoom version of the song. But it was one of those things where it's like, I didn't come in until like seven pages like into the song. And then it's like, you've got to like, hail the king. Like, and so you're just like, so I was like, and I'm looking at the sheet music, and I was like, I still, you know, it's like new music, so it's not my bones. It's not like an old, it's not like a show that we all know. And so that was one of the ones where I was literally looking on GarageBand and being like, 3, 2, now I'm singing, like, then going through the thing. And I was like, I was like, I'm lost in the sheet music. It's like flying by and there's notes everywhere. And I was like, I can't be like counting bars and being like 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 4.
Yeah.
I literally, for that one, I was like, I literally had to use GarageBand to like know visually when I had to enter into the music.
How have you found your singing voice during lockdown? Are you practicing enough, or do you find when you go to sing now, you're like, oh God.
I think it's a little bit more of the latter, because you go, I was like, it's like when people talk about being in football shape versus just regular shape.
Yeah.
And I think if you ask any singer, the difference of our endurance when we're in a show versus when you're just like, you know, you're in between things, but even when you're in between things and still regularly auditioning, it's a little bit more sharp. And so it's been one of those things that it's been on me to have to, I was like, you know, I haven't had an audition where I've had to sing for months now. And so it's been like, I've still kept up voice lessons and stuff with my teacher, because I've just been, I was like, let's keep those workouts going.
Yeah.
But I just go, I'm like, realistically, the demand of what you've been having to do, I was like, it's not the same. And so I've been playing around with like sort of more contemporary stuff and just being like, oh, let's play with like pop stuff. Let's find covers of things and just kind of, you know, let's play with different timbres and stuff, because we're not having to do sort of the more legit music theatery stuff, which is a little bit more like my bread and butter in the world that I would normally live in. I've been looking into covers for pop stuff and just sort of playing, because I was like, well, like, I don't think like an Anjaros audition is going to be coming in anytime soon. So, you know, like,
yeah. I've been finding that's been tough, especially the theater sound of my voice. You know, I feel like I've got different sounds depending on the songs and characters and styles, but it's been tough. So I've been forcing myself to, actually start re-singing in things that I would normally take for granted because I've done them. So like the Bring Him Homes and Music of the Night.
Yeah.
And
yeah. But have you been, when you're doing them, when you've been doing them, have you been doing them in sort of a broadgraphy type style? Or have you been trying to be like, hey, let's make this like, this is, let's go like music theatery, how we did it on the stage?
When I'm practicing on my own, I'm thinking stage.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it's a different muscularity when I sing like that. Look, I'm on train, yeah. So my physicality is involved, and it's hard. And it's hard to do that in practice when I'm like, well, I'm not the part now, and I'm not planning on playing the part. Why am I doing this? But I don't want to lose it either. And I'm still on the fence whether maybe I've lost it or it's just out of, not tour fit.
You got it. You got it. I know you. You got it.
Takes a lot more effort, man.
But like, it's such a real thing, right? When you're like, if somebody was to like hand you something crazy ambitious while you're like in the run of, you know, Les Mis or Evita or something like that, where you're like, oh, we're in this shape. We're using it every day. Like, and then you're just getting thrown something and you're like, all right, yeah, I can just like jump into it. Versus I feel like now it's like, oh, I gotta like remember, we gotta like go back to a little bit of foundations, you know? And obviously there's a lot of muscle memory that's there when you've been doing it for years, but there is a little bit of like, let's oil this up and then okay.
It's so much easier when you're doing it regularly than just doing a one-off.
Yeah.
Remember when I was Jean Valjean in New York and I wanted to learn how to play it on banjo, I had you over at the flat.
Yeah.
And I was like, can you sing Bring Him Home while I play it?
Yeah.
And I remember I was playing it because at that time, I probably still can't as well now, but play and sing at the same time. So it helped. But I remember you were singing and then you did this one phrasing. I was like, that's beautiful. And I, from then on in, I phrased my Bring Him Home like how you did it for that one lick. I was like, that's amazing.
That's the closest that I've ever been to on Broadway is because I was like, Ramin kind of did a thing of where, and I did a thing that, you know, he liked. And so, there's that. So, but that was a great,
And normally great I don't take too many breaths. I like to hold long phrases.
Yeah.
But this one phrase, I used to breathe before, and I heard when you did it once straight through, I was like, oh, that's awesome. I'm keeping that. Well, that it goes back to what we talked about. When you find something inspire you, I was like, I can go try that tonight.
Oh, yeah. And I'm one of those people too. And like when I get a new role for something, and again, I think it's super interesting because in the on-camera world, one of the awesome things is that 99.9% of the time, no one's ever done this before. No one's ever said these words before. No one will ever say these words again. So it's kind of fun because you're like, there's nothing to look to for it. You know, it's like, I'm originating this. But I'm one of those people that when I am, you know, prepping for a role or doing something, I'm like, I love going into sponge mode where I go, I want to watch everything. I want to see, I want to read about the time period. I want to watch the production. I want to see the other things that the people that were the leads of that have done it. Cause I always want things to make it your own and you always want your own performance to come through. But I go, but if you really genuinely love someone else's thing on something and they've done it before, I'm like, I just go embrace it because I go, I don't ever think that it's like a copycat type thing. But when you see someone do something and you just go, that's it. You know, why would you rob yourself of that? You know?
Well, it's all, there's references there. And if it resonates with you, then why would you let your ego get in the way? Go, well, they did it, so I'm not going to do it. It's at the end of the day, there's no denying, and I'm not hiding the fact that Calm influenced a lot of my roles that we both have done, but no matter how much of him I take, it's still coming out of my mouth. So, and my vocal cords. So it's going to ultimately be me. And I love what Tom Hanks said in his, I think he got a Golden Globes Lifetime Achievement Award like last year or the year before. And he thanked everyone in the audience that's there. He goes, I've borrowed from each and every one of you. And I was like, it was such a validating thing to hear. I was like, I do that, but I thought I was cheating. Now, of course you borrow. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's one of and I think that there is an important dividing line there, like, between that thing of just trying to copycat. But it's like when you see or you hear, it's a perfect example of like when you hear somebody sing something. And I feel like us music theater nerds, we're all about that, where you hear somebody do something and you're like, well, that's just got to be the new standard. I was like, we can't go back from that. Like, you've set the bar. And I was like, we can't go, like, you're like, that's it. That's like somebody finds an option up in some song and you're like, well, I can't ever unhear that. That was just so glorious, you know? And so you're like, well, now you've raised the bar. And then I go, well, now I'll never be able to sing that. So that's fine. So, yeah.
Well, that was my thing with Jean Valjean, why I never wanted to do it, because I didn't know what I could bring. The perfection was already there with Calm. And I was like, well, what am I going to bring or add to it? And I've told the story before of how it ended up doing it. And I'm so glad I did, because then I was forced to, was not forced to do it, but it was in a way where I ended up finding something not knowing that was
100%.
There.
You know, and then it's, you know, and then you have no idea what becomes the new standard after you get to do. One of the things that I always think is so cool about when shows go back to Broadway or when a revival happens is that it becomes this, it's like, oh, like you've established this new standard for something. And I'm like, I'm sure for something like even West Side Stories going forward, they're like, oh, we're going to try to bring in, we're going to try to make it a little bit edgier. We're going to try to do something. And it's like with the latest production of Oklahoma, I'm sure people are going to try to make it much more, you know, broad grassy, if you will. Like, if, I don't know if you got a chance to see it or whatnot, but, and I was like, I'm sure that's going to set a new standard for people. And so that's always cool when something goes back where it's like, and here's the new thing that then in all of the, you know, colleges and high schools and middle schools where like we grew up doing stuff, the directors are like, we're going to try this new thing on how they did it last time. And then it sort of, it's like, it gets to keep things fresh and, you know, so.
Well, listen, brother, I want to talk to you forever, but I just think we should do this again another time.
Great.
So
sounds great.
To just bring it to an abrupt end, I'm going to ask you what I ask everyone at the end of my podcast. What made you smile? What made you smile yesterday?
What made me smile yesterday? I got a text of a photo of one of my nieces, and it's just, being an uncle is the greatest thing ever. And so it's just, I've told my siblings and one of my best friends, he's like my younger brother, he has a daughter too, where I was like, you can just send me as many photos as, like, I will never tire of seeing the photos of them coming in. So just blitz me with them. I don't care. They all get saved into the photo roll. So it's, you're like going through your photos and you're hunting for something and you're like, oh, that's, yeah. So yeah, it's great.
Oh, I love that, brother. And can you give me the first childhood memory that comes to your mind that makes you smile?
First childhood memory that comes to mind. Top of brain thing is frogging at my grandparents' old house where they had a pond in their backyard. And so frogging was, we'd go out with nets. And then we'd go and the frogs would be wading in the water right along the brim. And so then we'd try to like catch them. And then we'd like see how many we could get and then like put them in a bucket and then we'd just like release them. But it was like, so we'd like go out for an hour and be like, see how many you could get. So you'd like go and then you're like, all right, like I got X, like so-and-so, and like whoever got like the bigger one. And as I'm saying it now, I'm like, it blows my mind on like how many we were able to get when we were little. Cause now if I like walk up to the water, they all like dart. And I was like, how did I do this? As like a 6-year-old kid, where I was like a ninja when I was that young. And then now I'm like, you stop over and like all the wildlife scatters. But that's just, I was like, top of brain, good memory was being my grandparents' house, being by the pond. So
that's great, brother. Yeah. Man, I miss you.
I miss you.
But
too,
I just want to let you know that the few good things I do like about social media is keeping up with your friends and the things that keep you inspired. And when I'm down, there's days when I look at your stuff that, man, okay, it gets me going. So you're super inspiring. I love seeing the growth since I've known you and how you've grown as an actor and started working and doing things. And I still can't bench press as much as you. I saw your 11 reps the other day on your Instagram.
Hey, it makes me feel better. I'm like, oh, cool, tendonitis in the right elbow. I remember, all right, cool, cool, cool. I was like, that's what 31 feels like. Cool, awesome. So, but I feel like I feel the exact same way, man.
All right, brother. Love you, man.
I love you too, man.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll do this again.
Yeah, sounds awesome. Sounds awesome. All right, until next time, man. Take care.
Thanks for hanging with myself and the all-around brilliant guy, Tim Rogan. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm off to, well, do anything to be better than yesterday. I have Tim to thank for that. The Hang is produced by Dori Beristein and Alan Seals from the Broadway Podcast Network. You can find me online at bpn.fm/The Hang. Don't forget, you can connect with me on Instagram and Twitter at Ramin Karimloo, on YouTube, a roaming Iranian, or my Facebook page, Official Ramin Karimloo. Music for my podcast is by my friends and one of my favorite bands, The Dives. Please check them out at their website, thedivesmusic.com. That's thedivesmusic.com, where you can get to know them, hear their incredible music, get links to all their socials, and most importantly, their tour dates, where you can find out where you can see and hear them live. They are truly a great band, and they are phenomenal live. Check them out.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.